finally persuaded somebody besides Sister Brenda to sing with me. She kind of had to.
And I apologize in advance.
You know, the Gospels tell us that in the early morning hours before Jesus was crucified, that he took his disciples to Gethsemane, where he went off by himself, and he wept bitterly, and he prayed to his Father. And it said that his drops of sweat were as of blood. Jesus was in severe agony, mental agony at that point. This song is called Teardrops in the Garden. It was early in the darkness, just before the dawn. It was there in the garden. Jesus wept and prayed alone. If it be thy will, my Father, then pass this cup from me. Jesus knew how he'd suffer. Jesus knew what was to be. Voices heard in the darkness, I told him they had come. So he raised his eyes to heaven, and he said, thy will be done. There were teardrops in the garden, where our Savior wept and prayed. There were tears of love and sorrow falling from his precious face. Jesus trusted, and not a word did they say. They just watched from the shadows when they took our Lord away. Then he raised his eyes to Peter, heard the rooster crow. Three times Peter had denied him and said, this man I do not know. There were teardrops in the garden where our Savior wept and prayed. Tears of love and sorrow falling from his precious face. It was early in the darkness, and just before the dawn. Was there in the garden, Jesus wept and prayed alone.
do it again. Wasn't that good?
Amen.
Well, it's good to see everybody today. Who does not have a bulletin insert? Everybody have a bulletin insert? If you don't have one, raise your hand. All right, we got Tony. Would you come up here and get these bulletin inserts and pass them out to whoever needs one? While you're doing that, are there any young people want to come see me today? I'm giving away money. Thanks, Tony, for doing that. Anybody need a bulletin insert, raise your hand. Good morning. Are you a skeleton today? What are you today? A vampire. Again, we're watching reruns up here. I was going to show y'all something. Y'all ever seen a $2 bill? You ever seen a $2 bill? That's a $2 bill. That's a real bill. Most people don't have them. But on the back of the bill, it's got a picture of the Declaration of Independence. You see that? I don't have $1 million for you. But I might give you two. Oh, you can make $1 million? Well, then you come back and be my buddy. All right. But just about every one of these men were Christians. And nobody wants to say that because they say that's politically incorrect. But our nation was founded by Christians.
Amen.
And the reason we have the freedoms we have is because Christians started our country. And Christians are supposed to do good things. They're supposed to love one another and lift one another up. And that's what Christians do. And the reason we do that is because Jesus loved us and lifted us up. And Jesus died for our sins and rose again. And when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, what he does is he comes inside of us and he makes us different. He makes us like him. So I'm praying that one day y'all get to know Jesus. And one day I'm hoping y'all will make a difference in our country. You see, these men made a difference because they loved in Jesus and they weren't afraid to stand up for what they believed in. And I'm hoping y'all will stand up for Jesus. Let me say a prayer for you, even for vampires, all right? Father, I thank you for these wonderful young people who came up here today to talk to me. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless them, that you'll keep them, and that one day you'll lead them to you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. And here's your $2 bill. Go home and look at that. Think about it before you spend it. Thank you for coming today. You don't want no coloring book. You got the money. All right. He knows what he wants, don't he? Well, I don't blame you. Be honest. I like it when people are honest. Just be who you are. Amen. Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 12, and I'll tell you, the beginning of Matthew chapter 12 is all about Sabbaths. And we're going to talk about what a Sabbath is. And we're going to start by reading responsibly out of Matthew chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. In Matthew 12, 6 through 8, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless.
For the Son of Man is Lord, even on the Sabbath day."
Jesus, I pray that you'll teach us what this means today, that you are the Lord of the Sabbath. Lord, teach us that our rest is to be in you. We thank you, Lord, for what you do for us. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace. And we thank you, Jesus, that you paid it all so that, Lord God, we can receive you and receive it all. We can receive the peace and the joy and the happiness that is meant to be that of the Christian. That we can one day receive the glory of heaven, Lord,
that we look forward to, that we can be citizens, Lord, of your kingdom, and that, Lord Jesus, through you, we can be the light that this world desperately needs. It's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, it's good to be in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all just need to be stirred a little bit. So just stir up for a second. Look at somebody and say hi. Say, glad to see you. Say something to them. You know, what is a Sabbath? I've heard people talk about Sabbath. They say, well, today is the Sabbath. Well, today is really not the Sabbath biblically. Today is the first day of the week. And we meet on the first day of the week because of the resurrection of Christ. He resurrected on the first day of the week. But what's a Sabbath? A Sabbath, this text is all about the Sabbath. When Jesus spoke, he said, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. The reason he said that is, if you've got your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 12, and I hope you do, look at verse number 1. It says, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. They were chastising the disciples, not Jesus, but the disciples, for picking corn and eating it on the Sabbath day. Now, it's not a violation of God's law to eat corn on the Sabbath day, but it is a violation of the law to harvest on the Sabbath day. And Jesus calls them on that. You know, the Sabbath was supposed to be a day of rest. And it was a ceremonial day of rest. And if we may not understand this, but the Jews had many Sabbaths. They had a weekly Sabbath, which was Saturday. They had a Sabbath that preceded the Feast of the Passover. They had a Sabbath that was on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was the day after the Passover. They had a Sabbath that went before the Feast of Shuva. And they also had what they called a seventh year Sabbath, where they were not supposed to work the ground for an entire year, not to farm whatsoever. So what is a Sabbath? Well, Sabbath starts out in Genesis chapter 2, and the first time you see the word Sabbath is in Genesis chapter 2. It tells us that on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it, God rested from all the work he had done in creation. The Sabbath was a day where God rested. Now, God didn't rest because God was tired. God don't get tired. He never gets tired. The Bible says that he does not faint nor grow weary. God is all powerful and all knowing, and God never gets tired. But the reason he rested is because the work was finished. He had done everything that was necessary to make the world the way that it needed to be. It was a beautiful place. It was a perfect place. It was a wonderful place. And God established the Sabbath as a day where everyone would stop and realize that God is the one who perfects things. God is the one who finishes things. God is the one who blesses things. As Jesus walked through that corn that day, and these Pharisees, they started to accuse Jesus. Jesus said to them in verse 3, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, that they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful for him to eat. Now the Jews made 12 loaves of showbread and set those up as a display in the temple. And only the priests were supposed to eat the showbread. But whenever David was hungry, the priest gave the bread to the men who were with him. Jesus said they did that. They ate what was not lawful for them to eat. And then in verse number 5, Jesus says, have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? The priests make sacrifices on the Sabbath. That's what a priest does. You know, today is not my day of rest. I work harder today than I ever do. Amen. This is the day that I work. This is whenever a priest works. So Jesus said the priest profaned the Sabbath on the Sabbath day. But then Jesus tells them in verse number 6, I want you to focus on this. He says, in this place is one greater than the temple. He said, there is someone standing in this place right now that is greater than the temple itself. He's greater than the sacrifices. He's greater than the law. He's greater than any of the things that have been given. Who is that person? Jesus tells us who that person is in Matthew 12:8. He says, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Look at that word phrase there, Son of Man. And write this down. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. Son of Man is a title that Daniel used to speak of the coming Messiah. And what Jesus is saying is, he's saying the Messiah is Lord even of the Sabbath day. He said, I am over everything. I'm greater than anything that's in this temple. In fact, what Jesus is saying is, everything that came before this was to tell you about me. That's what everything was about. The animal sacrifices look forward to the coming of Christ. The shedding of blood that Jesus would do on the cross. And the Sabbath look forward to what Jesus would do for us. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. He is the one who loves us. He's the one who cares for us. Jesus is the Sabbath that we rest in. You know, we don't rest in our works. We don't rest in our power. But we rest in what Jesus has done for us. When Jesus went to that cross, he died for every sin that you and I would ever commit. And praise God, we can rest in that. We know that he's paid it, that he's finished it in full. Oh my goodness, I'm not connecting. I'm talking, but it's just bouncing off the walls. Jesus is our rest. If I shout a little bit, will y'all wake up? Listen to me. He is the rest. There's nothing else. People are resting in so many things. Humanitarianism has come into the world today. Oh, let's do this and things will get better. No, it won't. It gets worse. They say, well, let's elect this one to office and it'll get better. No, it won't. It gets worse. You know what makes it better? It's Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing else but Jesus. He is our rest. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord who set the Sabbath. He's the one who started the Sabbath. And he's the one you need to rest in, or you're going to bust hell wide open one day.
Amen.
That's where your rest is in. It's in Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. Ephesians 2:18 says, through Christ we have access by one Spirit into the Father. There is nowhere else you can rest. You can't rest in Muhammad. I got up this morning and I found out that 21 of our precious brothers and sisters over in Egypt were killed while they were worshiping on Palm Sunday. Why were they killed? Because these Muslims, these ISIS followers, they went up there and attacked and killed these people. See, they think that the way to save someone is to kill them. Oh, what a terrible tragedy that is. But I tell you this, the world hates Christ. And the world will always hate Christ. The darkness doesn't like the light. But beloved, you've got to stand anyway because he's the only rest that we have. We're to rest in him and trust him.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that God makes us alive together with him. You know, I remember before I was saved, I used to wallow around in things I thought would make me happy. But when I found Jesus, I found rest.
Amen.
And if you haven't found Jesus, you won't find rest. But Jesus gives you rest. The Bible tells us that through Christ we've been forgiven all trespasses and all of our sins, and that Jesus is our rest. Well, right after this incident, Jesus speaking to these people, I want you to look in verse number 9. Jesus never did anything without giving you a wonderful illustration of it. Jesus has just finished talking about how he is the rest and how he is the blessing. And he walks into the temple in verse number 9. It says, when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. Now, what is a synagogue? A synagogue is a church. It's a place where the Jew met when they did not meet at the temple. It was a church, and a church without Jesus is just a place. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus walks into their synagogue. This is where people have been meeting. They've been having religious celebrations. And right there in the midst of it, it says in verse number 10, and behold, there was a man that had his hand withered. Here's a man that is crippled in the middle of this church. And I want you to notice what is withered. It's not his eyeball that's withered. It's not his lips that are withered, though I wish some people had withered lips. Amen? It's not his ears that are withered. It's not his feet that are withered. It's his hand that is withered. It's his working hand that's withered. And he can't do anything with it. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? I'll tell you what, we're always trying to make ourselves acceptable to God by the things we do with our hands. We think, if I can do this, I'll please God. If I can do that, I'll please God. Do you know the one thing that will please God is to come to Jesus?
Amen.
To trust Jesus, because what we do with our hands is withered. We're outside of Christ. The Bible tells us over in Isaiah 64:6, we're all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Romans 3:12 tells us this. No one is righteous, no, not one. No one does good. In the eyes of God, everything done by our hands, by our feet, by our bodies, outside of Christ, falls short of God's glory. And God will not bless it outside of Christ. This man, he's a perfect illustration of that. He's sitting in the midst of this place, his hands withered. And all the Pharisees can think about is the Sabbath day. They speak up right then. They said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? Now, I think it's interesting that they know that Jesus is going to heal. And I want you to know, nobody can heal but God. Amen?
Amen.
But they're sitting there picking, and this is what religion will do. Religion will pick at you. That's all religion will do. Oh, God, save us from religious people. Because religious people, they have little things they do that they think will make you better. God, save us from that. They're sitting back there, and this man's got a withered hand. He can't work. I don't know how long he's been in a terrible place. He's come to the synagogue, to the church of that day. He's looking for some relief. And all they can do is say, oh, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Well, Jesus said in verse number 11, he said, what man shall it be among you that shall have one sheep if it falls in a pit on the Sabbath day? Will you not lay your hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Jesus said, this man is in a pit. And he said, he needs to be lifted out of that pit. Oh, beloved, God came to this world so he could lift you out of a pit.
Amen.
And we've all been in a pit. Amen?
Amen?
We've all been in a bad spot. And Jesus, he didn't allow anything to stand between him and that man. Jesus said, it's lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And as the Pharisees glared at him and looked at him and rolled their eyeballs and lifted their noses up in the air and thought of all the things that they would do to him when he got out of that place, Jesus looked at that man. And in verse 13 it says, he told that man, stretch out your hand. Now I want you to think about what he's saying. This man has a withered hand, and Jesus tells him, stretch out your hand. He's been to doctor after doctor who has told him, if you could just stretch out that hand, you'd be a whole lot better. And those doctors couldn't do anything for Jesus. He's had friends who would reach out to him and say, you know, maybe there's something you can do. And they'd give him advice on how to stretch out his hand, and nothing would help. But Jesus told him, he said, stretch out your hand to me, is what Jesus is saying. Bring that hand to me. I remember one time there was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she had been in a pit for a long time, abandoned by her family. And as Jesus passed by, she said, if I could just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, I know I would be healed. Oh, that's what you have to do if you want to be blessed.
Amen.
This man don't have any power to heal himself. But Jesus said, if you'll stretch out your hand toward me, it's going to be all right. And that's what faith is. Faith is reaching out to Christ. You don't have to analyze it. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to be scientific about it. You don't have to understand it. All you have to do is just reach out to Jesus. Jesus says, stretch out your hand to me. And the Bible tells us that whenever that man stretched out his hand, he didn't argue with Jesus. He didn't fight with Jesus. He didn't look for fault. He didn't debate with Jesus. He just stretched out his hand. You know, if you want to be blessed by God, you've got to quit arguing with God. And you've got to trust what God has promised. You've got to stretch out your hand. That's what faith is. People tell me all the time, they say, well, preacher, I could do it if I saw this or I saw that. I could do this if I have enough money, or I could do that if I have enough money. Beloved, that ain't faith.
Amen.
That ain't faith. Faith is stretching out your hand to Jesus and trusting him no matter what. Faith is reaching out to him. Faith is standing up in Jesus and saying, I know that my Jesus will, because Jesus always will. Because Jesus is an awesome creator. Jesus is our Sabbath.
Amen.
You know, Jesus, when he rode into Israel, rode into Jerusalem, on this day, many, many years ago, my brother talked about, this is Palm Sunday, people cried out, "Hosanna! Hosanna unto the King!" And they threw palms down before him, and they all clapped their hands and they all cheered. But the reason they were cheering is because they thought that Jesus was going to be a conquering king, and he was going to come on in, and he was going to overthrow Rome, and he was going to take over and lift Israel back up to its glorious state that it was at before. But that's not why Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day because he was the Passover lamb. He was a lamb without spot and without blemish. And he was supposed to present himself to the people for 4 days prior to his crucifixion. In that time, the people would examine him and see him, and he would walk amongst them. And at the end of that period, they would cry out, "Crucify him." And they would nail him to a cross. No one would find fault with Christ because there was never any fault in Christ. Our Jesus is that lamb without spot and without blemish. Our Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And 3 days later, after his crucifixion, Jesus rose from that grave. The Bible tells us early in the morning, we'll talk about that next week, on the first day of the week. And since that time, God's church has been meeting on Sunday. Amen. Our Sabbath is Christ. And that's where we rest. We rest in him. Are you resting in Jesus?
Amen.
If you're resting in Jesus, then he's with you wherever you go. I tell you, I've gone through some tough times. I've gone through some happy times. And I've been through some hard times with many of you. But I know this, if you're going through those times without Jesus, you're slogging through a muddy bog. But if you're going through those tough times with Jesus, he'll get you through them.
Amen.
Our Jesus is there. He is the one we rest in. He's the one I collapse into every time something bad happens. And when something good happens, he's the one that I look to. What an awesome Jesus we have. Do you know Jesus?
Amen.
Do you have an infirmity? Do you have a pain? Do you have something? Stretch out your hand to Jesus. Give it to him. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, stretch out your hand to him today and say, "Lord, I want you in my life. I don't understand it, but I come to you just as I am. Jesus, would you take me?" Jesus is our Sabbath. Jerry, come lead us in a final hymn of invitation.
So let's get to number 134.
We'd like to invite you to Sunday school and a cup of coffee. What are we studying today, Brother Jimmy?
Today, Jesus talking to the disciples about what he had told them before the crucifixion.
All right. And what are y'all studying in your class?
Victory over fear.
There you go.
You know, the greatest fear that Christians have.